Bible. There are Bibles in your pews there, and those pages where this text is found is on the overhead before you. Colossians 3:13. Then I want to as well read Ephesians 4:32. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Ephesians 4:32, verse is very similar. Hang a left a couple books and you're there. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the health and strength to come together. We thank you that you're worthy of our worship, of our gathering. We thank you for the church, the body of Christ, his blood-bought bride. We thank you that we have an opportunity to minister to each other, to love on one another and encourage one another and be a blessing. I pray that you found our hearts there today. And Father, you've brought us in this scripture to something that each of us need to be involved in, and there's a call in our lives to practice this, and that's forgiving others. I pray that through your Spirit and your Word today, you would move us to a greater place in our walk with Jesus. If there's someone here that doesn't understand what it is to know Christ as their Savior and to know they're forgiven before you, to understand that you have gloriously saved those who would believe, I pray that you would help that one as well. We ask your blessing, Father. We need your help. We need your Spirit to move, not only for us to understand, but for us to act. And I pray that our actions would be in line with your Word here. In Jesus' name, amen. He was less than 10 years old when his parents divorced. It had a dramatic impact on his life, but even worse was that his relationship with his mother went downhill rapidly. It seemed that following the divorce, the mother that this young man knew no longer existed. Things were said that were hurtful, actions were taken that were regrettable. By the time he was in his early 20s, their relationship had hit rock bottom. It began to take a toll on his own soul. His heart toward her grew cold, and bitterness and anger became a prison that he could not find an escape from. He needed relief. He sought out a counselor, and after several sessions of hearing his story, the counselor brought it all together for him one day. The counselor said to him something like this: "The way I see it, you have a couple of options here. You can continue like you are, allowing the wound to fester and dominate your life, your thinking, and your health, or you can make a decision to forgive her and move toward reconciliation." By God's grace, he chose the last option. And the chains that once held him lost their grip. He forgave her, and immediate relief came to his heart. Bitterness, anger, resentment left him. He was able to build a relationship with his mom. When we forgive those who have hurt us, those who have wounded our souls, those who have acted sinfully toward us, it opens the door for God's grace to flow into the heart, whereby we can experience freedom. God's desire for you and I is to be reconciled to one another. It's essential that we forgive anyone and everyone that have sinned against us. That's essential. It needs to be something that we do time and time and time again. I would ask you, how many of you today have someone right now, or a number of individuals who you know that you need to forgive? What would your answer be? God wants to speak to you today. He wants to speak to me. He desires that we will respond to his instruction in a way that we experience the joy it is to walk with Jesus unhindered by the past. I believe that's where this text takes us. I think there's life change for us here today. I think there's freedom for us here today if we can put into practice, and by God's grace, I believe we can, what God is calling us to. I believe there's going to be great joy in our hearts. I want you, first of all, to see the imperative. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Ephesians 4:32, it says we must forgive. Here, it says we are to forgive. Just as the Lord forgave you, you should also. So what God is calling us to is a life of continual forgiveness. What He has said in this passage and in the passage in Ephesians 4 is a command for every one of us. Those who are, remember, were chosen, were holy, beloved. Those who know Christ. This is, brother, sister, God's word to us today. It is for our good. It is for the good of others that He does this. We may have an opinion or thoughts on forgiveness, but God's word stands true. We must forgive. Now, He knows us best. Would you agree with that? He has a word for us today, for His children, for His beloved. Who does the forgiving? That's a question I think we need to ask. Again, look at the scripture with me. And forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Notice each other. Notice whoever. Notice anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Whoever, He says. Anyone. Each other. In other words, it is us. We must do the forgiving. It's you. Each of us. Every child of God has this call upon his life. To forgive those who have sinned against us. This is what we are to do. It's not an option, brother, sister. It's not an option. Or something we're to put off. God calls us to do this. Beloved, it is us. It's His children. We are the ones who are to forgive. You know, why would God speak so clearly to this? Well, it's because He knows the heart of man like no one else does. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We need to understand something about God. He has given man the freedom to make choices in life that he desires to make. In other words, God's not dictating from heaven the choices we're going to make. He's given us a free will. Men can choose to love Him. They can choose to be bitter. Men can choose to trust Christ as Savior. Men can choose to reject that. But as you and I well know, men can be wicked and evil, self-serving and harsh. They at times make decisions that deeply wound, scar, and hurt others. This is the world we live in. We are sinners among sinners. You may say to me, Pastor, you don't know how bad I have been hurt by an individual, how that has impacted me. You may be right in that. I may not know or understand it fully, but I know this. God does. God does. With this knowledge, He calls us to forgive, and we must. We must. Nancy Lee DeMoss, in her book, Choosing Forgiveness, writes of a letter that her ministry received from a wounded heart that refused to forgive and how that can impact a person in the long run. This is how the letter reads. My daddy left us when I was 2. I wanted a daddy so bad. I hated him for leaving me. I hated him so much I wanted him to die and to go to hell. I grew up in the mountains. They said if you drive a nail in a tree and speak the name of the person while driving the nail in the tree, that person would die. There was a big pine tree near where I grew up. I went to that pine tree day after day, driving nails and speaking the name of my daddy. I do not know how many nails I have driven in that tree, but my daddy did not die. I hated him so much. That hatred I carried for my daddy wrecked my first marriage and is threatening my second. Listen, he says this, I am a shell of a person. I do not have any personal relationships. That's a sad letter. Too many people are right there because they have not forgiven. Who does God call to forgive? He calls believers to forgive. He calls you and I to extend to forgiveness to those who have hurt us, those who have sinned against us. That leads us to the next thought. Who are we to forgive? It's those who have wounded us. It's those who have sinned against us. It's those who have hurt us. In other words, it's those who stand in need of forgiveness. That's who we are to forgive. There isn't anyone in the sanctuary this morning or anyone who will listen to this message online who have somehow escaped being sinned against by others. Our focus is often on the sin, on the sinner, on the offense. But it is what we do with the offense that will either determine our freedom, our joy, or lack of it manifested in bitterness, anger, and resentment. And that's where it can take you. There are people to forgive in our lives because they sin. And often those who have been wounded wound others. A grizzly bear is a dangerous animal. But a wounded grizzly bear is especially dangerous. Why? Because he's been hurt. We read the news headlines of our days and wonder how individuals can act like they do. Violence surrounds us. Hatred and anger spills over to road rage, school shootings. But it gets right into our homes at times. Unresolved family issues breed contempt, disputes, which in turn feeds bitterness, revenge, and hatred, and the cycle just keeps going. We need to forgive. We need to forgive those who have sinned against us, those who have hurt us. We must. We must. God calls us to do that. Now, I realize as I go through this sermon this morning, I'm just kind of zeroing in on one aspect of forgiveness. Okay, I want you to know that. There can be questions, I think, in your own mind at times. How does this work out? Well, one of the things I want to say right now, if you've sinned against someone, you need to go. You need to seek their forgiveness, and they need to extend it to you. If there's someone in your life that has sinned against you, you need to release them from that. You need to give them into the care of the Lord. You'll know when you've forgiven them, when you begin to pray for them and to ask God to bless them and set that sin aside. Is there an example of this? There is. Let's look at the example. It says here in Colossians 3:13 that just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Ephesians 4:30 says, 32 says this, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. That's how we do that. So it says God forgives us because, I just want you to know, because He's love. But His love meets with His justice on the cross of Christ. This isn't trivial. It's deep. And it costs both the Father and the Son extravagantly that they would forgive us. The cross was a brutal, agonizing, and horrific way to die. Yet Jesus went to the cross. God laid on Him the sin of the world. That sacrifice met with God's amen. We remember today that God raised Him up from the dead. He's risen. The fact that He has forgiven us of our trespasses is amazing and reaches into my heart. My sin, see, took Him there. My offense took Him there to the cross. And so did yours. All sin of all mankind for all eternity was laid on Him. This humbles me, and I love Him for this. I praise God that He has forgiven me. Jesus paid the sin debt. And God forgives. This should humble each of us. God can and will forgive us if we would trust in Christ today. Well, let me give you some scriptures. I think it's one thing for me to say this. But I know if I'm in that pew, and if you were saying this to me, I'd want to see it in black and white. Isaiah 43:25. I am the one who wipes out your transgressions or your sins. For my own sake, I will not remember your sins. That's how God forgives. Isn't that sweet? Praise God. Psalm 32:5, Psalm of David. I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity, and I did not hide. David said, I owned it. I gave it to God. I said, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord. Look what happens. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Psalm 86:5. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. We can stop and say, praise God. He is good, my brother, my sister. And He is ready to forgive. Abundant loving kindness to all who call upon Him. I love the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son, where in that parable, the father represents God the Father. And he is at the end of the road looking for the son to come back. When the son comes back and acknowledges his sin, he restores him. God forgives sin. He's ready to forgive. This is how God deals with our sin. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Those points never meet. He's put it under the blood of Christ for everyone who would believe, and we have forgiveness of sin. I love Ephesians 1:7. It's a favorite of mine. I actually have a cheat sheet in my Bible, not my preaching Bible, but my study Bible. And I never forget this verse. So right by Ephesians 1:7, all those scriptures that I just gave you, they're on the edge of this verse. Because I like to go back there. I like to remember God is so good. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. According to the riches of His grace, God, in forgiving us, has met a great, great need. He's wiped the slate clean. Colossians 2:13, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, together with Christ, having what? Forgiven us all our transgressions. That's how God forgives. We are to forgive as He forgives. Jesus left us an example to follow in everything. Luke records our Lord's kind and forgiving heart as He suffered, pinned to and helpless on the cross. Those who were crucifying Him, railing at Him, chiding and mocking, and those who hated Him, we're rejoicing that He was dying. To them, this is what He asked of the Father. Luke 23:34. Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And they cast lots, dividing up His garments among themselves. Forgive them. Do you see the heart of God? Do you see the heart of our Lord? Did they deserve that? Did I deserve to be forgiven of God? No. In extraordinary circumstances, you see this same attitude and action in the lives of God's people. Acts 7:60. In Acts 7, Stephen, a man who just came alive in Christ, is giving a defense. And he goes over the history of Israel. He's speaking before a religious audience. And he just kind of nails them for the rejection of Christ. They've had enough. And they stone him. While he's being stoned, Luke records what happened. Falling on his knees, Acts 7:60, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Having said this, he fell asleep. Last action, Stephen's life, looking to the Lord, forgiving others. The Apostle Paul, sort of a sad verse to me about his life. Sad in the sense that nobody stood with him when they should have. He's a seasoned soldier. 2 Timothy is the last book he wrote. He's talking about going to having a hearing. And at that hearing, he said, "At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me." That'd be hard. That'd be hard. And there's godly people around me. They've kind of forgotten me. I've been in prison. I've got a hearing. No one there. Look what he says about it, though. He could have been bitter. He could have been resentful. He could have been angry. He could have said, "Good grief. These are guys I led to Christ. Where are they at?" No. "May it not be counted against them." What a heart. His heart is there because of what God has done for him. His heart is there because of what Christ has done for him. Just as God forgave us, how did He forgive us? Totally and fully. He took the initiative to forgive. He did this by sending His Son to pay a sin debt we could never pay, thereby allowing Himself to extend forgiveness to us and yet remain just in doing so. We deserved His wrath, but He acted in grace. We didn't deserve this forgiveness. We deserved separation from Him, but He came near. He forgave us because of His love and His grace and His desire to have a relationship with us. He released us of the offense we had committed against Him. In doing so, He's chosen to not hold that sin against us. That's how we're to forgive. Like that. Like that. So I want to finish here with, under the example, we're to forgive as He did, and so we must. So we must. He says, do it. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. He's the author of 140 books. Spoken to more than 250 million people in 125 different countries. Few could guess what he has had to deal with or the power and freedom that forgiveness brought him. Listen to me. He grew up in an abusive alcoholic with an abusive alcoholic father and suffering as well from sexual abuse as a child from a family member. He calls that one of the loneliest times in his life. He said he'd shut the door on God and stuffed the bitterness down in his heart. When he attended college, he was intrigued by a group of students and professors who boldly proclaimed Jesus Christ. He set out, however, to disprove their faith, traveling to Europe and to the Middle East to gather evidence. He was going to disprove them. But the truth in God's Word revealed itself, and he eventually knew he wanted what those students and those professors had. His words are as follows. "I concluded as an angry university student, I could hold the New Testament in my hand and say that what I had in this book had not been changed. And I concluded that what was written down was true," he said. His findings are documented in his best-known book. Many of you, I think, know this. It's called The Evidence That Demands a Verdict. He said that after he accepted Christ, the change was not immediate, but 6 months later, his entire life was turned upside down. He said in that time, he was able to forgive his father and lead him to Christ and also forgave the man who sexually abused him. The power of forgiveness, he said, is what allowed him to be blessed with a happy marriage and happy family. Something that based on his upbringing, he never knew existed. His name is Josh McDowell. C.S. Lewis makes a great observation. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. It's a lot easier to know it, isn't it? It's a lot easier to say, that's right, that's what I get it, that's what God teaches, than to do it. I know this. As I preach this word, God is going to speak to your hearts. He may have already been doing so, and you know as you've come into this sanctuary that God's been banging on the door of your heart and saying, you need to let this go. Matthew 18:21, Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? I think Peter thought, you know, that's going out of the way, right? And Peter lived in a world like you and I live in, where people sin against other people. Okay, so he's asking Jesus, how many times do I need to do that? Up to seven times, and you know what Jesus said. I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. In other words, you are to continually forgive those who sin against you. You and I must. Luke 17:3-4, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, what? Forgive him. Forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. Individual I worked with years ago, I'll never forget this, said to me, I'll forgive somebody once for something, but never twice. I thought, you'll never have a relationship with anybody in your whole life. We need to forgive others. It may be a parent. It may be a sibling. It may be an aunt, uncle, someone you work with. It may be someone in church leadership, a pastor, an elder, a deacon. It may be a Sunday school. We all stand in need of forgiveness because there are times we don't do it right. You and I are to forgive. I had to ask myself some questions as I thought about and put this together. One question I have for myself is this: if God forgave me like I forgive others, would that be a good thing? If God forgave me like I forgive others, would that be a good thing? Would it be healthy? Would it promote peace? Would it promote joy? I love what Warren Wiersbe says. He nails it. Forgiveness opens the heart to the fullness of the love of God. I think there are many things that can stop us from growing, from walking in peace and enjoying the relationship of the Lord, but this is one of them. You and I cannot be the men and women God has called us to be if we are harboring unforgiveness toward others in our heart. We just can't be. And you know, as you well know, some of you have lived enough life to know that there's some brutal things that happen in life. People can be really nasty. But we're called to forgive. That's what we're called to do. It's not easy to put in practice at times. I think all of us would agree with that, but we can get the teaching. And I think, and I know, not I think, but I know, as we seek the Lord, when He calls us to do something, He gives the grace, the strength to do so. Put it into practice, my brother, my sister. Experience the joy and freedom that God has for you. If you don't, the chains of the past and what others have done to you will suffocate your relationship with God and, listen, with others. Here's my final thought. Believers must have a heart that's willing to consistently forgive others. Beloved, this is what God wants us from us, to have a heart that's willing to consistently forgive others. Let me wrap it up. We must forgive. We must forgive because God calls us to forgive. We must forgive because no one we're closely associated with can live in relationship with us without at some point offending in some way. So we must forgive. We must forgive Because if we don't, it'll suffocate our happiness in our walk with Christ and the joy that it can be ours. We must forgive because here it is. There is joy, relief, peace, and grace awaiting us. It's there. It's there. Let's pray. Loving Father, our pride jumps up and at times shakes our fist at others or you, and we judge that they have been so wrong and we so right. Or perhaps we look at you and say, how could you let this happen when you've given men a free will to do as they do, yet they don't escape the consequences that one day will be theirs. Father, I pray our heart toward you would be right and we would humble ourselves and humble ourselves to others. There are those, Father, these folks before you today, there's none of them that have not been wounded, hurt, broken in some way by others, sinned against. And you have given us the way, the path to take that will give us relief and allow us to continue on with you as we should and with others as you would like. Father, in the minds of the people that are before you, there certainly would be some that would, if they were honest, say, no, I know I need to, but I haven't. Would you move them to freedom? Would you move them to joy? Would you move them to peace? Would you move them to being the first one to experience victory, the one who forgives? Thank you, Father, for making a way for us. I pray we'll just stand in humility before you and do what we know you want us to do. Give us the grace for that. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.